The game against Florida is going okay. He helps Chris tie it up in the second, and they go into the third with a 1-1 game. When Gudbrandsen pushes him off the puck as he's heading for the net, and he blinks his eyes open, breath coming in harsh gasps. For a moment, his world is narrowed down to the feeling of his neck and shoulder burning, sharp and bright. He doesn't remember hitting the boards, but he must have. He thinks, nonsensically,
maybe Sydney is right about the curse.
He shifts so his head is in his hands, cushioned from the ice, and tries to focus on his breathing. After a moment, he feels a little less like he wants to throw up, and he pushes himself up. From a long way away, Gino hears someone saying his name. Then again, louder.
Gino, can you hear me?
He recognizes the voice as their head trainer after a moment, and he knows it must be bad. The crowd is booing, probably at Gudbrandsen, and Gino has to swallow a couple of times before he can speak.
Yes,
he says. Then he remembers himself and repeats in English.
Yes, I can hear you.
Do you think you can get up? Chris asks.
I think so,
Gino says, and he pushes himself up.
Bad.
We're going to have to do tests, Chris says neutrally.
And Gino really doesn't want to do that. But he gets to his feet anyway and skates for the bench, ducking his head as console lights up with cheers for him. Guys pat him gently on the back as he passes, calling out well wishes and gentle chirps. Sydney grabs his hand and squeezes once, hard. They take him back to the trainer offices and dim the lights while they go through the assessment test. Gino obediently turns his face up as they test his pupil's reaction to light, touches his nose in request, answers the questions.
Yevgeny Valdemirovich Malkin, age 26, born in Magnitogorsk, Russia.
By rote, and recites the numbers they give him backwards. He doesn't feel great, but he doesn't feel awful either. His shoulders and neck hurt, but he doesn't have a headache and he doesn't feel dizzy. So they let him go back to the dressing room to change into a t-shirt and sweatpants before making him sit in the trainer's office with an ice pack on the blooming bruises until they find someone to drive him home.
Sid can drive me home,
he says to anyone who's listening, and Chris nods at him.
Can watch me tonight, too, if have to.
Okay, says Chris. We'll ask him once the game is over.
One of the younger trainers keeps Gino updated on the game while they sit in the office together, watching on his phone. The Penguins win handily, snatching up 2 goals in the third, and Gino feels a momentary surge of pride before scowling down at his hands and wishing he could have been out there to help. Dan drops by to check on him, and they talk with the trainers and the team doctor, who comes in to look Gino over again. They eventually decide that he can leave, but he'll have to come in for more tests the next morning, which is pretty much what Gino had expected.
Take it easy, okay? Dan says. Sid's taking you home?
Think so,
Gino says. He isn't sure how long it is before Sydney comes in, but Sydney is dressed and no longer sweaty, looking exhausted and worried. His face is drawn tight. The trainer in the room excuses himself and leaves them alone as Sydney turns Gino towards him. Sydney doesn't say anything for a moment, eyes roaming over Gino's face. Then he lets out a huge, gusty sigh and drops to his knees in front of him. God, Gino.
I'm sorry,
Gino says, reaching out to him, hoping to make Sydney look at him.
Sid.
Why are you apologizing? Demands Sydney, turning his face up to stare at Gino. I mean, you should be sorry. You better never do anything like that again. And then he kisses Gino, initiating for the first time, but gently, like he's afraid of hurting him, his hand bracing Gino's jaw. Gino starts in surprise and nearly falls off the chair, catching himself on Sydney's shoulders. And Sydney groans, kissing Gino harder, an edge of desperation to it.
Now you know how I feel when you get hit,
Gino says when Sydney pulls back. And Sydney shakes his head, still looking shaken.
Sorry.
Stop apologizing. Sidney smooths Gino's hair back from his forehead and kisses him again, a little bit softer this time. Chris said you wanted me to drive you home?
Can't drive myself,
Gino says, shrugging.
And need someone to watch me.
Sidney nods and stands up. How are you feeling?
Okay,
Gino says, getting to his feet as well. He grabs Sidney's hand.
Not dizzy, just sore.
We'll get more ice on you at home. Sidney wraps his arm around Gino's waist. You're not leaving my house until you're better, okay?
I need clothes, Gino points out, smiling. Unless you have big plans.
Sidney blushes. Not while you're injured, he says tartly, pinching Gino's waist.
But after?
Gino grins, liking the implied promise. And Sidney just goes pinker and refuses to answer. He releases his hold on Gino's waist when they're out of the trainer's office, though he lets Gino lean on him all the way to the car. They pass through the dressing room on the way out, and the guys call well wishes after him, and he waves back at them. Simone greets them tiredly when they get in the house, saying, he would not go to sleep. She focuses on the way Gino is leaning on Sidney and frowns. Are you okay? He took a bad hit, Sidney says. Could you grab the ice packs from the freezer? I'm going to get him settled upstairs. Of course. Simone disappears into the kitchen while Gino trudges up the stairs, suddenly very tired. Sidney hovers behind him as if he's worried that Gino will topple over just like Mason. And when Gino climbs into Sidney's bed, Sidney tucks the comforter around him and stands there until Gino raises his eyebrows at him.
Just stand there?
Gino asks. Do you need anything? Sidney shoves his hand awkwardly into his pockets. Tea? A cookie? More pillows? Aspirin?
Water, I guess, Gino says. Pills, too.
Okay. Sidney leans down to kiss Gino quickly and gives him a reassuring smile before heading for the door, towing off his shoes as he goes. Gino settles back against the pillows gingerly, wincing as he rolls his shoulders. He's sure he'll be at least a little bruised in the morning, probably sore and stiff, too. But right now he doesn't feel too bad. Sidney returns upstairs, juggling a cup of water, a pill bottle, and an ice pack. Gino leans forward to take the ice pack from him and settles it on the back of his neck while Sidney puts down the water. Here, Sidney says, holding out the pill bottle. How are you feeling?
Still okay, Sid.
Gino says, resisting the urge to roll his eyes.
Better if you sit.
Sidney purses his lips, but does take off his suit jacket and settles carefully down on the bed. Gino swallows a couple of tablets, drinks half the water, and sits back. The ice feels good against his skin, and he's comfortable enough that he starts to drowse, eyes sliding to half-mast. I don't think I've ever been so scared, Sidney says suddenly. Gino cracks his eyes open to look at him. Sidney's eyes are averted away, his hands twisting together. Gino reaches out to take Sidney's hand in his and squeezes. Maybe the day Mason was born, but that was different. I hate that there's nothing I can do to make you better.
Can kiss it better,
Gino suggests. Joking, but when Sidney looks at him, his gaze is heated and thoughtful. Sidney turns and shifts up the bed so he's straddling Gino's hips, mouth turned up in a sly smile. Where does it hurt? Gino taps his neck with a shaking finger. Sidney leans down, bracing his hands on the headboard on either side of Gino's head, and presses his mouth to the junction of Gino's neck and shoulder. His mouth is very warm, particularly in contrast to the chill of the ice pack at his back, and Gino can't hold back his shudder at the feeling. Sidney kisses the hinge of Gino's jaw next, then ducks down to the curve of Gino's shoulder, the top of his arm, changes sides. He finally makes his way towards Gino's mouth, and Gino is so on edge, thrumming with desire and affection and happiness. When Sydney stops, a hair's breadth away from kissing him.
Sid,
Gino whines, unable to help himself. I've been thinking about this, Sydney says, ignoring him. I like being with you, and when the trainers clear you for contact... He goes pink and giggles a little before continuing. I want to try... this. Gino pushes up, finally, and pulls Sydney's face down to his, kissing him so hard Sydney makes a little squeaky noise of surprise. It feels amazing having Sydney's warm, solid body pinning him down, hemming him in. It's safety and love and belonging, and Gino wishes they could stay like this forever, tangled up in each other. I'm serious, Sydney says between kisses, voice coming out breathy. We're not having sex until the trainers clear you.
Just happy you want to,
Gino admits, combing his fingers through the thick curls at the base of Sydney's head. I wasn't sure I would at first, but I really like it when you kiss me. Sydney blushes and ducks his head. I've been thinking about it. A lot. Gino tries really hard not to grin smugly at that. He must not be successful because Sydney groans, says, you're going to be awful about this, aren't you? And rolls off Gino to flop down on the bed.
Want my body?
Gino teases. Sydney gives Gino a look that's impossibly soft and fond. I want all of you, he says quietly. Gino feels himself go red, and he lifts Sydney's hand to his lips to hide his smile.
Okay.
Now you should rest, Sydney says, trying to be businesslike with his hair mussed and his lips even fuller and pinker than usual. If you want to sleep, I'll be right here to keep an eye on you, okay?
This is why you good daddy,
Gino says, and Sydney rolls his eyes. Think you can read? Sydney asks. If you're not feeling up to anything too hard, I can get you one of Mason's picture books.
Hey,
Gino says, scowling, and Sydney grins at him before getting up to go grab a book. Gino gets the sneaking suspicion that Sydney is trying to test him when he asks Gino to define pretty basic words for him, but he goes along with it. He trusts Sydney's knowledge of concussions at this point, and even though the trainers and doctors had said he'd need more evaluation before they could conclusively say whether he had one, he knows as well as anyone else on the Penguins that it's better to be safe than sorry. Gino finally goes to sleep after he's been awake for about 6 hours and hasn't shown any signs to alarm Sydney. Sydney passes out before him, curled in towards Gino, hand splayed out over Gino's hip. And it's with a warm feeling of fondness and affection for Sydney that he closes his eyes and drifts off. Gino is woken the next morning by a pressure on his stomach. He blinks his eyes open, squinting against the sunlight that's streaming in through the window. Mason is lying on him, watching Gino curiously. When he sees that Gino is awake, he pushes himself up on Gino's ribs.
Oof,
Gino sounds as the air is pushed out of him, and asks, G-boo-boo?
Yes,
Gino says, voice gravelly with sleep.
G hurt his head.
He taps his temple to demonstrate. Boo-boo? Mason asks. He clambers off Gino and stumbles down towards him to lay a smacking kiss on Gino's forehead. He grins at Gino.
Yes, all better,
Gino says, sitting up. He seizes Mason around the waist and starts tickling him. Mason shrieks with laughter, kicking, and protests, No, G!
What are you doing to my son?
Sydney asks, coming out of the bathroom. And Gino falls back against his pillows, laughing. Mason takes advantage and climbs back on top of Gino, still giggling.
He sit on me, Gino tells Sydney, grinning. I get payback.
Mason pouts and flops down on Gino. Gino instinctively wraps his arm around him to keep him from rolling off, and shifts so Mason is in his lap.
He not bothering me.
I didn't know he was going to sit on you, Sydney says, giving Mason an exasperated look. I told him you were hurt.
Gino shrugs.
Not hurt me more, he says practically. Just baby.
Even so, Sydney takes a half step towards them, then stops. You good to carry him?
Yes, Gina says. For a little. Getting big, Mason,
he adds, and Mason giggles. He carries Mason down the stairs before setting him down, wincing as he rolls his sore shoulders. Sydney lays a hand at the small of Gino's back and murmurs, I'll get you some painkillers. Gino pulls at the collar of his shirt to try to get a look at the bruising. It isn't as bad as he had been afraid it would be, but he can tell it's going to be painful for at least a few days. Sydney hisses when he sees it and ghosts his finger along the edge of the bruising.
Bad?
Gino asks, holding himself still. Instead of answering, Sydney ducks his head to kiss Gino's shoulder. How are you feeling?
Okay. Sore, I guess.
Gino skirts Mason as he heads into the kitchen.
I will make tea.
Sydney has never had a good selection of tea, but Gino had bought him a box of Russian tea a year or so ago, claiming he wanted Sydney to learn to like it, while secretly just trying to stock Sydney's house with his favorite brand. Sure enough, his box is still sitting in Sydney's cabinet, barely touched. And Gino takes it out as Sydney herds Mason into the kitchen. Mason eats cereal and drinks some orange juice from a penguin sippy cup while Sydney makes breakfast and Gino takes his aspirin, the two of them moving around their daily routines easily. Gino pours himself a cup of tea, adds milk and sugar, and sits down at Sydney's kitchen island to sip gingerly at it. Mason wordlessly holds out a sippy cup to Gino, who shakes his head and gently nudges it back towards Mason's mouth. Simone arrives a little before it's time for them to head to the rink. Sydney wants to review tape and do a little warm-up before the night's game, and Gino has to talk to the trainers. Sydney reminds Gino over and over that he'll be there to drive Gino home, that Gino isn't to push himself too hard, that Gino should listen to whatever the trainers tell him. Sydney knows from experience, okay, and Gino has to kiss him to shut him up. Okay, Sydney says when Gino pulls back. I'll relax.
Good. You make your head explode, Gino says. And I like your head.
He pats the back of Sydney's neck, and Sydney leans in towards him, seemingly unconsciously. I like yours too. That's why I'm worried. Sydney snips back, even as he drops his head to rest against Gino's collar. Ugh, okay, let's go. Gino hates being at the practice rink when he's not there to skate. He's been raised since childhood to have an instant spike of excitement at the first breath of rink air, the stale smell of sweat and ice as familiar to him as the feel of a stick in his hands, or the pressure of skates on his ankles. He says goodbye to Sydney when he leaves to stretch, and then heads down to the trainer's office for his evaluations. There are a lot of things Gino hates about being injured. He hates not being at his best and not being able to do things without help. He hates not being able to skate, and he hates watching games from home or from the press box. And most of all, he hates evaluations. The trainers check him out physically. Take a look at the bruising on his shoulders, do some balance and reaction tests. He takes the tests they give him, answers their questions, and things are looking up, until Chris asks, almost offhandedly, "Can you walk us through the hit?" Gino opens his mouth to answer, blinks, and frowns. He remembers heading towards the goal, and he remembers Chris saying his name. He doesn't remember anything in between. When he stays silent for too long, Chris looks up sharply, eyes narrowed. Gino, he prompts.
I don't remember,
he admits, and that's when everyone goes quiet. Concussion is the eventual decision. Although the trainers tell him that it's reassuring that he isn't showing any symptoms other than the one instance of short-term memory loss. Sydney gets a mulish look on his face when he hears the news and practically frog marches Gino out of the building, insisting that he's going to go home to rest. Dan stops them on the way out and says that the trainer said it's fine for Gino to come and sit in the press box during the game if he wants. And Gino says yes before Sydney has a chance to overrule him.
If you don't feel up for it, just say so, Dan says. But I think the guys would be glad to see you.
I want to come, Gino says,
pinching Sydney's side to get him to shut up. Dan watches them, a smile quirking at his mouth.
Glad to hear it. Get some rest, Gino. Hopefully we can get you doing some light skating in a few days.
He pats Gino's shoulder and gives Sydney a nod and leaves them standing alone in the hall. Sydney rounds on him.
You shouldn't come, he says immediately. You have a concussion. You should be at home resting.
Not all concussions same.
Gino rests a hand on Sydney's shoulder.
Sid, no headaches, no dizzy, just memory.
Just memory, mutters Sydney. Just memory. Are you kidding me?
Trainers say it okay,
Gino points out.
If I feel bad, I leave. If not, I want to watch games, Sid. Remember when you have concussion? You like watching from home?
Sydney purses his lips, still looking unhappy.
No, but...
Gino waits. Sydney crosses his arms and scowls.
It's different when it's you, he says grumpily.
Absurdly pleased by this, Gino gently pushes Sydney towards the door.
We go home, I rest. You happy?
He asks. Happier, Sydney allows, and he leads the way out to the parking lot. They drive by Gino's house so he can pick up some things for while he's staying at Sydney's. And he gets settled in Sydney's bedroom, hanging his suit in the closet and unpacking some of his clothes into one of Sydney's empty dresser drawers. After that, Sydney makes Gino lie down and brings Mason upstairs to say hello. Mason climbs onto Gino's chest and sprawls out, and he smiles, resting his hand on Mason's back. Sydney sits down on the bed next to Gino, watching them with a fond smile. Mason seems kind of sleepy, his eyes drooping. And when he starts to nod off, Gino readjusts him so he's lying on his back.
Nap time, he tells Sydney. Like you.
It isn't time for my nap yet, Sydney says, rolling his eyes.
I just changed Mason, though, and Simone said he ran around outside after he ate lunch, so he's probably ready to sleep for a bit.
Gotta grow up big and strong, like Daddy,
Gino says to the top of Mason's head. He hesitates for a moment, then asks,
What if Mason come to the game?
I'd love for him to, but... He bites his lip. Aaron and I talked about it, and we really don't want any attention on him. Eventually, I'll probably have to say something.
Unless you just surprise press at 2029 draft,
Gina says dryly. Sydney grins and admits,
It's crossed my mind. No, I've talked to Pat about it, and he thinks we'll probably be able to keep it under wraps until he's a little bit older.
He slides back against the pillows and sighs. I hate thinking about it.
Sorry.
Gino nudges Sydney's shoulder.
Not worry yet, yes?
Yeah, Sydney agrees. Not yet. Watching games from the press box isn't quite as frustrating as watching from home, but only because he isn't the only one shouting when something happens on the ice. He wants to be down there, knows he should be there helping the team. They need him, he thinks stubbornly, even if he hasn't been playing his best hockey. And he wants to yell at Nielsen when he sees him fumble a pass, but has to settle for swearing under his breath instead. He heads to the dressing room after the game and is caught by Chris, who says they've decided to put him on retroactive IR, and that he won't be going on the road trip. Gino isn't exactly surprised, but it still stings to know he has more days like this ahead of him. Days with nothing to fill them, not even able to work out. He nods, thanks Chris, and continues on to wait for Sydney so he can tell him first. Oh, Sydney says when Gino tells him. He stares at him for a moment, eyes huge and beautiful, and Gino wants nothing more than to push off Sydney's helmet and slide his fingers through Sydney's sweaty hair and kiss him. But Dan is standing right there, and the team is walking by, so he settles for discreetly bumping his hand against Sydney's.
Not too bad, he tells Sydney. Gris say maybe I can skate if I rest.
You're staying at my place, Sydney says firmly. Simone will be there to look after Mason, so she can keep an eye on you.
Get me babysitter.
Gino raises his eyebrows.
Grown up, Sid.
Concussion, Gino, Sydney says. Look, she'll be there anyway, and you're having memory loss.
Forget one thing, Sid.
So I want someone around in case you forget why you're here and not in Magnitogorsk. Sydney completely mangles a pronunciation, as always, and Gino smiles instinctively. We'll argue about it later. I need to get changed. Sydney starts towards the dressing room, and Gino calls.
Good game, Sid. No hat trick for me?
Ugh, shut up, Sydney groans, and Gino laughs. True to Sydney's promise, they spend the ride home arguing about Gino needing a keeper while Sydney is away. Gino insists that he can watch Mason by himself. Sydney points out that Gino is going to be doing a lot of work with the trainers. Gino counters that Simone can just use the schedule she uses when Sydney is in town. And Sydney finally wins by asking if Gino really wants to risk anything going wrong.
No,
Gino says, deflating at the thought of having some sort of a dizzy spell or his concussion getting worse while he's taking care of Mason.
Fine, you win.
Sydney flashes him a smile. I knew you'd agree. Gino sits quietly for a moment, brooding. Then he says,
Sid, you know, I never let anything bad happen to Mason.
Sydney gives him another smile, this one softer, a little less triumphant. That's how I knew you'd agree.
Oh, he considers this. Cheater.
Yes, Sydney says unrepentantly. I won, though.
Because you cheat, Gino protests,
and Sydney smirks at him. Sydney leaves the following evening after Gino has a fairly productive day at South Point. Kissing Gino breathlessly before hugging Mason and thanking Simone, who had very politely averted her eyes while they said goodbye, for staying with them. Make sure he doesn't do anything too strenuous, Sydney says very seriously. And Simone looks like she's trying to hide a smile when she nods. I think it's sweet, she says when they're eating dinner later. Mason smearing tomato sauce all over his face as he shovels spaghetti into his mouth. He worries a lot about the things he cares about. Gino's cheeks heat, and he busies himself with pushing Mason's bowl away from the edge of the tray so they don't end up with another mess to clean up. Mason babbles something through a mouthful, and Gino scolds.
Don't talk with your mouthful.
Do you speak Russian to him often? Simone asks, watching them. He looks up.
When we are alone, yes, he says. When he is older, I use English.
Oh, I'm not criticizing, she says hurriedly. It's just sometimes he says words that sound Russian, and I'm not sure if they are words or just toddler speak. Gino blinks. He hadn't thought he was around Mason enough to teach him any Russian.
Like what?
Sometimes he'll say da instead of yes, Simone says. As if to prove her point, Mason chirrups, da!
Very good,
Gino says automatically, smiling at him. Mason smiles back, looking vaguely gruesome with a smear of tomato sauce around his mouth.
Can you say anything else in Russian?
Mason frowns and says, da, again, and Gino laughs.
Your papa will be upset if I teach you to speak better Russian than he does,
Gino says.
He can barely string together a sentence.
Mason nods seriously and drags his fingers through the remnants of tomato sauce in his bowl. It takes them nearly an hour to get Mason cleaned up, particularly when Mason throws a tantrum about the pajamas Simone tries to pick out for him, throwing himself to the floor and bursting into tears. Gino immediately swoops in and pulls Mason into his arms, humming soothingly.
You're going to be a terror when you're older, he says,
as Mason cries into his shoulder.
Just cry and you know I'll give you anything you want.
Want Danny, Mason mutters, and Gino sighs.
I know,
he says in English.
Me too.
Eventually, he coaxes Mason into his pajamas and puts him to bed with the plush Sydney doll. He tries to leave, but Mason reaches out and grabs the hem of his shirt through the crib bars, face still tear-stained. Mason doesn't say anything, just stares at Gino. And Gino sighs before pulling up a chair.
What you want? Story?
He mimes opening a book.
Song?
He hums. Mason nods.
Okay, spoiled boy.
He sings the lullaby twice before Mason finally drifts off, eyes blinking slowly and eventually closing. Gino sits there, watching Mason sleep, and then goes to check on Simone.
Sorry I jump in,
he says when he finds her downstairs, one of her many books open.
I know it is your job, but I hate when Mason cries.
It's all right, Gino, Simone says. You're his... She hesitates, then changes tact. I'm the backup for this week. You're the primary. You're... starting? She frowns. Did I use that right? Gino laughs.
Close enough.
He thinks about her half-finished sentence as he's getting ready to sleep in Sydney's bed that night, rolling it over in his head and trying to imagine how she might have completed it. He's Mason's... what? He isn't sure how he would finish that himself, mostly because he isn't sure how to define his relationship with Sydney. They've definitely progressed past friends, if the searing kiss Sydney had laid on him before heading out to the car had been any indication. But they've done little else besides that first date. After lying in bed for nearly half an hour brooding over it, Gino gives in and texts Sydney a quick,
good night, smiley. From Mason, too.
He gets a response less than 5 minutes later. Sleep well and stop texting. P.S. Give Mason a kiss for me. Gino grins and turns his phone to vibrate before turning over and going to sleep. Being injured has a certain dull rhythm to it. When he isn't at the rink with the trainers, Gino putters around the house, playing with Mason or reading. They let him skate for half an hour the day after Sydney leaves, and the day after that, they let him shoot some pucks. But he's still banned from working out off ice. And he's sent to evaluations every day to assess his concussion. Sydney calls Gino on Tuesday night after losing their game in Montreal. He sounds frustrated at first. And Gino, who had watched the game on low volume while Mason played on the floor with Simone, understands. It had been a bad game, necessitating some third-period heroics from Voki and Bo, who tipped in a goal on the power play, and they still hadn't managed to eke out a win. Can I talk to Mason? Sydney asks after Gino tells him about his workout on the ice. He sounds less stressed now than when he had first called, and Gino gets off the couch to go wake Mason. Mason is grumpy at first, but when Gino holds out his cell phone and says,
Daddy,
he lights up and reaches for the phone. Gino puts it on speaker and says,
Sid, he can hear you.
Hey, Mason, Sydney says, and Mason starts babbling happily. Most of the words nonsense, but he does manage to say, Tada! Is Gino being good to you? Sydney asks, and Gino smiles as Mason claps. You happy? Da, Mason agrees, and Gino snorts. Sydney talks to Mason for another minute or two, which means that Sydney talks and Mason says a few words that are actually recognizable here and there. Eventually, Gino reclaims the phone and sets it on the edge of the crib as he hoists Mason out.
You get him excited and awake,
he tells Sydney as he settles the now boisterous Mason against his chest.
Now he won't sleep.
Sorry, Sydney says, not sounding very sorry at all. I miss him.
He miss you too.
Gino kisses Mason's head and tries not to long for the warm presence of Sydney at his side, but isn't able to keep himself from blurting out,
I miss you.
Yeah. Sydney lets out a breath. I really wish you were here, and not just because we could have used you tonight.
Big compliment, Sid.
Gino teases.
Not just want me for hockey, huh?
Sydney is quiet for a moment. I really do miss you, he says eventually. I didn't realize I would miss you this much.
I can sing you lullaby like I do for Mason,
Gino says. He's joking, but Sydney says, okay. And Gino is left staring at his phone in disbelief.
Really?
He asks.
I don't sing very good, Sid.
You're all right, Sydney says. Please? I'm having trouble falling asleep. Gino wets his lips and clears his throat.
Okay. Might give you a bad dream, but I sing.
He starts pacing the room, Mason gnawing on the fabric of his shirt, and starts singing softly, off-key and rough. But Sydney doesn't say a word. And Mason slowly settles against him. When he finishes, he sets the once again sleeping Mason back in his crib and picks up the phone on his way out of the room.
Sid?
I'm still here. Sydney's voice has gone syrupy smooth with tiredness. Thank you.
Sleep good, Sid,
Gino says.
Win game for Mason.
Oh, and for both of you, Sydney says, and he yawns loudly.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Night,
Gino says, and Sydney murmurs, good night, before hanging up. Gino smiles at his phone, then realizes he's standing in the middle of Sydney's hallway, grinning like an idiot, and goes to bed. If he rolls over into the spot Sydney sleeps to smell the faint trace of his aftershave and shampoo, there's no one around to rat on him. The trainers clear Gino for contact the next day before the team gets back from their road trip. And Gino is so excited that he spends an extra half hour at the rink going through drills by himself. He grabs lunch with Paul, who has been doing work with the trainers on his leg, and heads home in a buoyant mood. Which is probably the reason he comes in to find Simone frantically trying to calm a sobbing Mason.
What happened?
Gino asks, dropping his coat and holding out his arms. She passes Mason over immediately, worrying her lip. I think he's sick, but he won't stay still when I try to take his temperature, she says, lifting up a thermometer. I took him out to the park on Wednesday when you were at the rink, and some of the moms were saying that something was going around. Gino rests his hand against Mason's forehead. He does feel a little warmer than usual, but that could just have been from the crying. He bounces Mason gently and says,
Mason, please stay still for Simone, okay? Just a minute.
He holds Mason steady while Simone takes a temperature from the ear. She frowns and says, 99.3. They exchange looks and Gino sighs.
I call Sid,
he says, holding Mason out to her.
Get him juice and try to make him sleep.
Okay. Simone takes Mason to the kitchen, and Gino is left with the unenviable task of telling Sydney what's going on. He's sick? Sydney says, sounding horrified. And Gino hurries to reassure him that it's a mild fever. He isn't showing any other symptoms yet, though Gino privately acknowledges that with the crying, they aren't able to tell if he has a runny nose or not. Sydney isn't satisfied, though, and tells Gino to hold on a moment. Gino heads to the kitchen and finds Mason, looking marginally calmer, drinking juice under Simone's watchful eye. He waits about 2 minutes before Sydney comes back. "I called Aaron," he says. "She says to give him liquids, and if his temperature goes up, take him to the doctor. Also, that you should give him a hug for her."
"You call Aaron?"
Gino asks, trying not to laugh. "She's his mother, and she's a doctor," Sydney says defensively. "I thought she'd want to know."
"She's in Africa, Sid."
Gino kisses the top of Mason's head.
"Want to talk to Simone?"
"Sure," sighs Sydney, and Gino passes the phone off. Mason finishes drinking his juice, and Gino uses the edge of his sleeve to clean up Mason's face before letting him out of his high chair. Mason heads off for the stairs, and Gino follows him as he laboriously climbs to the landing before getting tired and flopping down onto his stomach.
"Oh, tired already?"
Gino jokes, crouching down.
"Want you to carry you upstairs."
Mason rolls onto his back and stares at Gino, looking disgruntled. He laughs and picks him up.
"Okay, yes, you are sick. I will take care of you since your papa isn't here."
"Papa," Mason mumbles, popping the peas loudly, and Gino pats his back as he walks down the hall.
"Hug from your mom, kiss from your dad,"
Gino says before he sets Mason in his crib.
"Now get better or Sid will be mad."
Mason hooks his finger into the chain around Gino's neck and tugs at it until Gino untangles him. Gino sets Mason into the crib and strokes Mason's hair until Mason starts to blink sleepily.
"Sleep,"
Gino says softly.
"Get better."
He stands there looking down at Mason until Simone comes into the room, feet whispering against the floor. "Gino," she murmurs quietly, and he turns to see her holding his phone. "Sydney wants to talk to you." Gino thanks her and steps outside.
"Yes, Sid."
"Call me if anything changes," Sydney orders. "We'll be home tomorrow morning, and I'm coming straight home."
"Okay,"
Gino says.
"He's sleeping now."
"Oh, good." There was a pause where Gino was left listening to Sydney's breathing, a little harder than normal. "And, how are you feeling?"
"Skated today,"
Gino says happily.
"Trainers say ready for practice contact. Still have to pass test, but they say I look good."
"That's great." Sydney's voice tips higher in happiness. "Gino, that's amazing."
"Maybe staying here helps,"
Gino says. "Maybe you should stay after," Sydney suggests. Someone shouts in the background. It sounds like James, and Sydney sighs. "I have to go. Take care of Mason."
"Always,"
Gino agrees.
"Win game tonight, Sid."
"We will," Sydney says confidently. Gino spends the rest of the day stretching, jogging, and checking up on Mason. His temperature stays around the 99 mark, so Simone and Gino just make sure that he drinks a lot of juice and eats dinner. Mason climbs into Gino's lap during the pre-show for the Pens game against Detroit, but dozes off halfway through the scoreless first period. Gino knows he should put Mason to bed, but there's something sweet about having Mason settled against him, small breaths puffing against his neck in steady, even intervals. They win the game after a disappointing second period, surging in the third and scoring 2 goals in rapid succession that see them winning a 3-1 game. Gino is glad to see them win, glad to see the bright, delighted smile on Sydney's face as he hugs Sutter for his game-clinching goal. But he itches to be out there with the team, to be shouting at James across the ice and to feel the rush of rink air against his face. He wants to be playing. Sydney returns home early the next morning. waking Gino with a kiss on the cheek and whispering, "Don't get up, I'm just going to go check on Mason." Gino nods and drifts off again to halfway between sleep and wakefulness until Sydney returns, shoulders relaxed.
"Mason okay?"
he asks sleepily. "No fever, I'll check again later." Sydney takes off his sweater and pulls off his trousers. He folds them and sets them aside before sliding into bed next to Gino. "God, I'm tired." Gino reaches out and pulls Sydney in by the hips.
"Sleep then."
Sydney rubs his nose against Gino's cheek. "Glad to be home."
"Happy you're home too,"
Gino returns. He kisses Sydney, close-mouthed, and closes his eyes again.
"Sleep, Sid."
"Okay." After a moment, the last bit of tension runs out of Sydney's body, and Gino smiles to himself before going back to sleep. "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!" Mason chants, climbing onto the bed and bouncing up and down. Gino cracks his eyes open and squints down at the foot. Mason is dressed and clean, and Gino kind of suspects Simone had let him loose on them as a bit of fun once she had discovered that he was better. "Morning, Mason," Sydney mumbles. He bats the space between himself and Gino, and Mason curls up into it. "Miss me?" "Daddy," Mason says, grabbing at Sydney's nose, and Sydney lets out his stupid laugh. Loud and happy.
"He misses Papa very much,"
Gino tells him.
"Cry for you."
Sydney's mouth turns down at that, and he pulls Mason in for a hug. "Sorry, buddy. You know I hate leaving you." Mason burrows into Sydney's hold, beaming happily, and Gino smiles and starts to get out of bed, thinking to leave them alone. But Sydney snags hold of his t-shirt and frowns at him. They stare at each other for a moment before Gino eases back down so Mason is snuggled between their bodies. The three of them lay together, breathing in sync. Gino starts to drop off again, but then Mason shifts and says, "Hungry." And Sydney breathes out and nods. "Okay, buddy. Let's get you some breakfast." He sits up and grabs Mason by the hands. "Ready?" Mason leads the way, carefully scooting down the stairs, and goes to tug at Simone's jeans, saying, "Hungry." "What do you say, Mason?" Sydney calls. And Mason tacks on a "Please?" "Sure, Mason. What would you like?" Simone asks, and she takes him into the kitchen while Gino drops into a chair and rests his head on his arms. Sydney touches the back of Gino's neck lightly. "Are you okay?"
"Tired."
Gino turns to look at him.
"Travel okay?"
"Wasn't bad." Sydney scratches his fingers through Gino's hair, and Gino shivers pleasurably. Sydney sits next to Gino and rubs at his neck in small circles. "You said the trainers cleared you for contact?"
"Yes. Dan say we try today at practice."
He groans as Sydney hits a knot, and Sydney obligingly digs his thumb in harder.
"Why?"
"Oh, no reason," Sydney says, but he's smirking a little, eyes bright, and Gino remembers what Sydney had said the night he got hit.
"You promise,"
he starts. "We have a game the day after tomorrow," Sydney says, watching Gino's face. "Against Tampa Bay."
"Yes, and?"
"If we win," Sydney squeezed the back of Gino's neck. "And if you play," he grins, and Gino is going to kill him for being like this.
"Tease,"
he accuses, as Sydney rises to go to the kitchen. "It's incentive," Sydney calls back. And Gino groans before dropping his head back into his arms. It's good to be back at practice. Even more to have Engel check him into the boards and to be allowed to check him back. Sydney yells, "You can do better than that, Gino," from across the ice. and Gino sticks his tongue out before flicking a puck over Voki's shoulder. He feels good, loose, and ready to compete again. And the fact that he scores his shootout goal at the end of practice before James and Sydney only makes him feel better. He passes the impact test the next morning, and he hasn't had any more memory lapses as far as they can tell, so they approve him for the game against Tampa Bay. He leaves the office with a bounce in his step and heads into the dressing room to announce the news.
"Oh, good," James says. "I've had to carry Sunshine this whole way."
And Beau scoffs and pulls his shirt over his head.
"Please, like you can carry anyone, lazy,"
Gino says cheerfully. James flaps his hand, rolling his eyes, and Gino goes to change into his practice gear. He feels more amped than usual for the game, and he isn't entirely sure if it's because it's his first game back, or if it's because Sydney keeps giving him smirky, dark-eyed looks that make his stomach twist in anticipation. He has to stop looking in Sydney's direction so he doesn't go on the ice distracted. It isn't a great game. Cooney scores early in the first period, but the Lightning get two up on them in the second period. The intermission is quiet. Sydney talks to Beau and Nisky, quiet and serious. Then comes over to Gino and James and says, "We need to pick it up."
"Yes,"
Gino agrees. They exchange glances, and Gino can see his frustration echoed on Sydney's face. They had hoped that they were past this, the scrambling to get back, and they both want a tick in the win column to get the week off to a good start. They want to win for other reasons, too, but Gino is trying to focus on the sports part. A few minutes into the third, Dan sends Gino and Sydney out together, and Gino, he catches a bad pass from Brewer and tears off, eyes on the goal, even as he senses Carl and Brewer closing in on him. And he slips between them, sends Lindbeck drop prematurely, and flicks the puck in. The goal horn goes off, and he yells in triumph, Sydney shouting his name from across the ice. And Gino jumps against the glass as Cooney and Sydney come tearing towards him. Simon close behind, and he grins as they press up against him, shouting in excitement. "Nice fucking goal," James says, when Gino returns to the bench and they bump gloves. "Bet I can do better."
"Fuck off, you can't,"
Gino says automatically. Sydney gets a goal for himself a few minutes later, and he gives Gino a bright smile when he comes back. It's looking good for them. The Lightning will pull their goalie, and Gino feeds James a pass for a goal that has James seething because he can't claim an empty netter is better than Gino's. And then Stammer gets one in just under the wire that has everyone on the bench swearing. The last 10 seconds are a mess, but they do finish with the win. And Gino is flying high from beating Tampa and from beating James, who is still sulking as they head back to the dressing room. Gino is about to follow him, maybe chirp him some more, when Sydney catches his arm and pulls him aside. "I want to kiss you so badly right now," Sydney breathes, eyes bright. "That was a fucking gorgeous goal, Gino." Gino drops his head a little and smiles at him.
"Yours not bad either. Mine is better."
Sydney groans and mutters, "The presser better not take too long," before heading into the dressing room. Gino takes a moment to think very hard about unsexy things before following him. It feels like there are a million things they have to do before they're allowed to go home. Dan gives his post-game talk, and Gino is awarded the ceremonial hat, and they have to talk to the media, and then, even when they get home, they have to say goodnight to Simone, who says Mason is sleeping soundly before seeing herself out. Even so, Sydney triple-checks the lock on his bedroom door before turning on Gino, and pressing him against the wall, hands on Gino's hips. "You looked good out there," Sydney breathes. "Really good." Gino wraps his arms around Sydney's neck and smiles.
"Of course I do. I am the best."
Sydney kisses him, languorous and indulgent, thumbs digging into the hollows of Gino's hips. Gino tucks his fingers into the collar of Sydney's dress shirt and smiles when Sydney shivers. Sydney abruptly pushes his knee between Gino's legs and goes up on his toes to kiss Gino more effectively, as he untucks Gino's shirt and slides his hands into Gino's trousers to palm Gino's cock. Gino breaks away and gasps, "Sid." And Sydney shakes his head before ducking his head into Gino's shoulder.
"Tell me if I'm doing something wrong," Sydney says, voice wavery. "I haven't done this before."
"I haven't done this in a long time," Gino admits. "Not since I moved to U.S.
"Oh, well," Sydney laughs and rubs his nose along Gino's jaw. "I guess we're both figuring this out a bit."
And then he squeezes lightly, exploratory. And Gino lets out a really stupid noise. Neither of them manage to get completely out of their suits, although Gino does get Sydney's jacket and tie off so he can mouth at Sydney's collarbone. He's kind of obsessed with the way Sydney looks with an open collar, the flash of his necklace just barely visible against the curve of his clavicle. And he hooks his fingers in it when he reels Sydney in for another kiss. Sydney, who is trying to get Gino's trousers off, goes limp at that, fingers relaxing on Gino's belt buckle. Gino bites Sydney's lower lip gently and then kisses him again, fingers still hooked into Sydney's necklace as he worms his other hand down between them to shove Sydney's trousers and briefs down and wrap his hand around Sydney's cock. "Fuck," Sydney says, strangled, and he resumes trying to get Gino's trousers off. He finally succeeds, and Gino spares a moment to think of what his tailor would say if she saw the way they were treating their suits. And then he isn't thinking at all because Sydney has his hand on Gino's bare dick, and it feels amazing. Sydney braces his free hand on the wall next to Gino, and his arms are shaking. He's shaking all over, cheeks flushed, hectic red, and sweat starting to bead at his hairline. Gino breathes, and Gino is so overwhelmed that he has to kiss Sydney again, tugging on Sydney's chain again. And the moment he does, Sydney chokes and comes, probably ruining both of their shirts. Sydney pants for air, harsh and loud, when Gino pulls back. And the dazed look in his eyes as he stares at Gino is enough to send him over the edge. He collapses back against the wall, taking Sydney with him. And they stand there in the wreckage of their clothing until Sydney lifts his head and says ruefully, "I meant for that to be a little more dignified." Gino ducks his head to Sydney's.
"Who cares? That was amazing."
"We could have gotten completely undressed," Sydney points out.
He steps back. Gino is proud to note that Sydney's knees seem a little weak and surveys them both.
"I think we need a shower."
"Yes,"
Gino says.
"Big enough for two?"
Sydney looks thoughtful.
"I think we can make it work."
They don't get much showering done in the shower. Sydney gets shampoo in his eye and starts swearing, and Gino promises to kiss it better. Which ends with Gino backed against the tiles as Sydney sucks what's probably going to be a truly impressive hickey into the underside of Gino's collarbone. But they do manage to get mostly cleaned up before they collapse in bed together. Sydney curls up to Gino, looking content. Gino drowsily cards a hand through Sydney's thick curls, longer than they've been in ages.
"That was good, right?" Sydney asks suddenly. "For a first time?"
"Perfect,"
Gino pronounces.
"Perfect because of you."
"You're a sap," Sydney accuses, but he's smiling. "Next time, we'll get all our clothes off."
Gino privately has his own thoughts about next time, most of them involving his mouth and Sydney's dick. But he has to admit the prospect of having all of Sydney available for touching and looking is never going to get old, so he nods. Sydney kisses Gino's shoulder and closes his eyes, and his breathing slowly evens out. Gino drops off not long afterwards. Dan has given them the day off, so they sleep in until Mason calls "Daddy" through the baby monitor the next morning, sending them both dragging themselves up to pick him up. They spend the day hanging out in the house in the snowy yard with Mason, playing tag and batting around a ball. Mason goes diving into a snowdrift, happily shrieking in delight, and throws handfuls of snow at Sydney and Gino, who gamely fall over and pretend to be injured. Despite the fact that Gino is recovering from his concussion and no longer has a real reason to be staying with Sydney, he doesn't leave, and Sydney makes no move to kick him out. March carries on, and they settle into a nice routine, waking up in the morning to play with Mason and eat breakfast together, going to the rink for practice or staying in to work out in Sydney's home gym if they don't have anything scheduled. Sydney proves to be as superstitious about sex as he is about everything else, so they reserve it to nights after wins. Sydney is a quick study, learning how to make Gino shudder and squirm, and he likes using his mouth, which Gino is totally okay with. "I take it things are going well," James says in an undertone when he spots the fading marks in Gino's collarbone while they're getting ready for practice. Gino flushes and tugs his Under Armour on.
"Yes,"
he says, rolling his eyes at him.
"Very well."
"I couldn't help but notice the two of you come into practice together almost every day," James says.
"Moving quickly?"
Gino frowns and realizes that he's been staying with Sydney for more than a month. He can count on one hand the number of nights he spent at his own house since his concussion, and he's surprised that he hadn't realized sooner.
"I guess," he says slowly. "Feel right, though."
"Ugh, you guys are disgusting," James says, making a face.
Gino flicks him with his towel and makes the mistake of catching Sydney's eye across the dressing room. Sydney flashes him a smile, and Gino grins helplessly back.
"Disgusting," James repeats,
shaking his head. Gino idly mentions their conversation to Sydney while they're making lunch after practice, the two of them moving easily around each other as they cut up tomatoes and lettuce.
"Has it been that long?" Sydney asks, looking startled.
"I hadn't realized."
"Me neither,"
Gino admits, leaning past Sydney to grab the mustard.
"I like it here. Feels like
home," he thinks.
"Feels comfortable."
"I like having you here. I always have."
Sydney cuts some lettuce and says idly, "I've been thinking of getting Mason some kid-sized hockey stuff. I was worried about his balance, but he seems pretty steady now." Gino grins and bumps his hip against Sydney's.
"Already training him, huh? Not too little?"
"It's when I started," Sydney says defensively. "Not saying we put him on skates yet. I think it's a little soon for that."
"Wait until he run without falling on his face," Gino says wisely. "Then skates."
"Yeah. So, what do you think?"
Gino frowns.
"About what?"
Sydney huffs exasperated. "About getting him some indoor hockey stuff. Just a stick, a goal, and a puck to start with."
"Why ask me?"
Gino asks.
"He is your son, Sid. You and Aaron, not me."
Sydney stares at him, brow furrowed. "Because you're... If we're doing this, Gino, then he's going to be your son, too." Gino goes very still, his eyes widening. He hadn't realized. He loves Mason, would do anything for him, but he has been deferring to Sydney whenever he can because he wasn't sure of his place.
"Sid..."
"And even if it doesn't work out," Sydney says, speaking quicker now, "your opinion will still matter to me because Mason loves you and you're one of my best friends. You've been here for us, even if I didn't... When we weren't together, we were always going to be family to each other, no matter what."
"Sid,"
Gino says roughly, and he gently takes the lettuce out of Sydney's hand so he can back Sydney up against the counter and kiss him. Sydney curls his fingers into Gino's shirt, shaking a little, opening up easily to him and kissing him back with just as much urgency. "I'm meant to lead into that," Sydney mutters when Gino finally lets him go. "I just kind of thought you knew. Mason basically thinks you're his dad anyway."
We buy him hockey gear,
Gino says.
Black and gold color.
Obviously, says Sydney, rolling his eyes. He pushes up to kiss Gino again and steps back. I did say I was sure about this when we started.
Not realize you that sure.
Gino pokes Sydney in the side.
Surprise me.
Sydney shrugs and smiles at him. It isn't the family I always thought I'd have when I was little, but so far it seems to be working out all right. Gino thinks about that as they eat a quiet lunch. They have, in a lot of ways, been sort of family-like. Although Gino had been careful to keep his distance for a while there. It isn't anything like his family or the family he had imagined having with Oksana. So maybe that's why he hadn't really recognized it for what it is. Family is a little like hockey, Gino thinks. You can plan and plan as much as you like, but nothing can prepare you for the reality of it. For how everything speeds up, or for how your emotions rise and tangle around your throat, and make it impossible for you to do anything but just feel. And he feels at home in Sydney's house. Feels happy when Sydney is lying beside him at night. Feels proud of Mason when he figures out something new. He fits here. After lunch, they make a half-hearted attempt to watch a movie, which ends in them making out on the sofa, legs tinkling together as Sydney giggles against Gino's mouth. Gino keeps trying to shush him in case Mason wakes up from his nap, but it's a hopeless cause. They're both too giddy and happy to aim for subtlety. And when Mason wakes up early, they take him outside to play, even though Mason is bound to get totally filthy in the springtime mud. Ugh, Sydney says when Mason smears dirt on Sydney's cheek with one muddy hand. Your turn to wash him.
Not it,
Gino says, touching his nose. And Gino throws him an exasperated look. Gino grins and carries Mason inside so he doesn't track mud all over Sydney's floors, teasing Mason that he's going to dump him in the bath in all his clothes. Mason is settled in the bath with his cadre of floating penguin toys when Sydney joins him, his face scrubbed clean. He kneels down next to Gino and splashes Mason playfully, and Mason shrieks, flailing and splashing Gino and Sydney.
Very naughty daddy,
Gino tells Mason seriously, before turning to kiss Sydney.
Very naughty.
Stop saying naughty like that, Sydney hisses. Gino laughs and combs Sydney's damp curls back from his forehead before turning back to Mason and picking up the sponge. Mason pouts but holds out his arm obediently so Gino can scrub the dirt from underneath his fingernails. Mason is a little terror out of the bath, squirting off at a run before either of them have the chance to wrap him in a towel. Sydney tosses Gino a towel from the bar and Gino goes chasing after Mason, finally catching up to him as he's trying to make a break for the stairs.
Bad boy,
Gino scolds, wrapping the towel around the squealing Mason and bundling him up into his arms.
Don't run away from Daddy.
Mason beams happily at him and giggles when Gino hands him off to Sydney, who is waiting with a diaper and pajamas. Sydney frowns at him and says, "Don't run when you're wet, you might slip." But he tickles Mason when he slips on the diaper and gives him a big kiss before putting him in the crib. "Sing," Mason says to Gino, peering over the bars at him. So Gino sings to him until Mason starts looking sleepy. "I never asked you what that song is called," Sydney remarks as they head off for bed themselves. "It's pretty."
"My dad sang it to me and Dennis,"
Gino says.
"Don't know the English name. Old song, though. A little sad."
"I like it." Sydney takes Gino's hand and squeezes. "I'd ask you to teach me, but..."
"No,"
Gino agrees.
"Can't speak Russian, can't sing."
"Nope." Sydney turns a bright smile on Gino, and all Gino can do in response is kiss him until Sydney sighs and pulls him to bed. Instead of buying Mason hockey gear, Sydney ends up with Mario and Nathalie pushing their kid stuff on him, saying, "It's taking up space. You can use this gear until he gets too big for it. and Gino has to come with him to pack it into Sydney's car. Mason, chilling in his car seat with a tiny penguin's hat on his head, waves at Mario and Nathalie. "Hey, little man," Nathalie says, leaning down to shake his hand. "Haven't seen you in a while." "Sorry," Sydney says, sounding guilty. "It's been crazy."
"Why don't you stay for dinner?" Mario suggests. "Unless you're in a rush."
Sydney blinks and looks at Gino, who suddenly feels as though he has a spotlight on him.
"Okay,"
he says tentatively, and Mario smiles.
"Come on in, boys,"
he says, gesturing them inside. Gino unstraps Mason from his car seat and carries him inside Mario's ridiculously palatial house, trying not to feel too out of place. He glances back at Sydney, who looks a little deer in the headlights, and resolves to talk to him as soon as they get a moment alone.
"I'll grab one of the old playpens for Mason," Mario says when they're in the living room. "You two sit tight, eh?"
Gino sits obediently and waits until Mario has left to say,
"What is going on?"
Sydney scratches the back of his neck as he sinks down on the couch next to Gino. "I had to tell my agent about us, because if it comes up, he needs to deal with it. But I didn't know it would get back to Mario. I guess that was kind of dumb of me."
"Tell your agent?"
Gino asks, surprised.
"You've been living with me since February," Sydney points out, and,
well, he has a point. The only person who knows anything on Gino's side is James, and that's only because he was around for Gino's total meltdown before the first date.
"Do you want to tell more?"
Gino asks, hesitantly. Sydney guards his privacy zealously, a practice born largely out of necessity, and Gino is used to it by now. Still, he would like to be a little less circumspect. "Maybe the team?" Sydney says. He makes a face. "After the playoffs, though, I don't want to go into them if anyone is going to be weird about it."
"Okay,"
Gino agrees. In his lap, Mason gurgles approvingly.
"Can I tell Gonch? My family?"
"Sure," Sydney smiles and bumps his knee against Gino's. "If you want."
"All right," Mario says, coming into the room with a soft-looking structure. "We can let him play around in here while we talk."
Sydney and Gino exchanged worried glances before letting Mario set up the playpen and setting Mason down inside. Mario sits down in one of the armchairs and looks at them with a thoughtful expression for a long time.
"I can't say that I'm surprised," he says eventually.
"Really?"
Gino blurts out, Sydney echoing him.
"But I'm very happy for you," Mario continues. "You seem to have a good thing right now."
He smiles sharply at Gino.
"Let's keep it that way."
"Oh, God," Sydney groans, pinching the bridge of his nose.
"Frankly, I'm mostly surprised that you weren't dating before," Mario says. "Sometimes I thought you were."
Sydney is beet red and avoiding Gino's eyes. "Mario..."
"I'll stop," Mario says, smiling. "Just making conversation, Sydney."
Gino wraps his arm around Sydney's shoulders and squeezes.
"We try slow, but..."
"We were bad at it,"
Sydney says, somehow managing to turn redder. Mario laughs.
"I'm sure."
He stands and says,
"I'm going to get some wine. Red or white?"
"Red,"
Gino says, and Sydney nods in silent agreement. When Mario is gone, Sydney turns to Gino and asks, "Do you think we're going too fast?"
"Hope not,"
Gino says lightly.
"Love you for years, Sid. This is not fast for me."
Sydney snorts and leans back. "Maybe not for you, but I should be more freaked out about this."
"Freak out because not freaked out?"
Gino asks, laughing, and Sydney socks him in the thigh. "I'm being serious here." Sydney shakes his head. "It weirds me out that this feels so normal. I don't want things to change, and he swallows visibly. They will change eventually.
You mean Aaron?
Gino asks quietly. Sydney nods silently, looking away.
Sid, I promise I not change. And we find a way with Aaron. Mason's still your son. Maybe keep him half of the year.
Yeah. Sydney sighs and tips his head onto Gino's shoulder. I just like things the way they are.
Me too,
Gino says, and he reaches over to link their hands together for a second. Sydney sighs and then scoots a little away to put a decorous 2 inches of space between them as Mario returns with 3 wine glasses and a bottle of wine that probably costs more than Gino's couch. Dinner is surprisingly not terrifying. Mason managing to diffuse any tension by making a mess of himself. Gino talks to Mario's kids about their classes and hockey, relaxing more as the meal goes on. By the time they're ready to go home, Gino is feeling much more comfortable knowing that Mario knows about them and approves. Nathalie presses a casserole on them as they leave, kissing Gino's cheek and whispering, "Good luck," when he takes it from her. "Take care of Sydney."
"Always,"
promises Gino. He smiles awkwardly at her before following Sydney out to the car. Sydney secures Mason in his car seat and turns to take the dish from Gino. "That wasn't as bad as it could have been, right?" Sydney asks, taking it from him. "It was kind of nice."
"They love you,"
says Gino.
"Want to know you are happy."
"I am." Sydney turns and rests his hands on Gino's chest. "And I don't want to keep second-guessing why." Gino frowns down at him.
"Okay."
"Yeah," Sydney nods decidedly. "I'm happy right now." He hits Gino's chest lightly and squirms around him to circle around the driver's seat door. Gino rubs a spot Sydney hit him and shakes his head in amusement before opening the passenger door and climbing in beside him.